Hey, the man who likes rain showers and who explains why we need them. It would be Larry Weber with Backyard Almanac. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. You know, you had a good point right there. This has been an incredible week. The big news, of course, is going to be the weather. And much of the state is still recovering from the storms that went through on July 5. Quite powerful winds and lightning and rain and the whole bit shows just what July can do. Down in the Twin Cities area, they're still having people without electric power coming back, so it takes quite a while. North of Duluth, they got hit also quite hard. Lots and lots of trees down and so forth. But if you look at the statistics of the Weather Service, it makes it look like it never even happened. In other words, hardly anything was recorded there at the Weather Service. But we know that with July, with the thunderstorms, they can be spotty, one place getting it and some place do not. Last night we got a pretty good rain, and last night, yes, the Weather Service did get rain. The Weather Service recorded about 6/10. That's about what we had here at our house, too. Some very impressive lightning and thunder to go along with that. But once again, welcome to July. That's the way it happens. I was very glad to see that, because even though June was wetter than normal, we hadn't had much yet in July. Now, things could change, and according to your forecast, we may be getting some right now today. Temperature-wise, it is our hottest month, and if we're going to get to 90 degrees, it usually happens at this time. The highest so far this month has been 85 degrees, and that happened also on the 5th. But when it comes to heat, I don't think we're going to be repeating the amazing period of 10 days that happened at this time, starting on July 7 and going to July 16, 1936, where the temperatures were recorded in the 90s or higher every one of the days. 7 of those 10 days set record highs that are still records today. 3 times the temperature hit 100 or got higher than 100, with the highest being recorded as 106, and that happened on the 13th. But I don't think we're going to be able to repeat that. I've done some reading in other places about how hot it was, and air conditioning was not very common then. And people went to the point of sleeping outdoors or trying to find some other way of remaining cool, because, yeah, that was quite a heat spell. It also was at the time when the Dust Bowl and so forth. So, yeah, not a very pleasant time. Other things of note, you may have noticed just a tiny sliver of a crescent moon. That's the waxing crescent, the new moon. That is just starting to show up now. We are getting days already starting to get a little bit shorter. Sunrises that were rising about 5:14 was our earliest time. We are now having a sunrise almost 10 minutes later. Sunsets have been a little bit slower to respond, but they're starting to get a little bit earlier as well. Yeah, very slowly at first, but it continues, and by the end of the month, we'll notice a rapid difference. Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, still visible in the evening skies. The changes in the time, the sunrises and sunset and so forth, does have an effect on the birds. Bird song has decreased a great deal. During my walk this morning, I heard a few kinds of birds, maybe 10 to 12 kinds of birds, only 4 of which were warblers. Now, a month ago, that would have been about a third of what I would have heard. So we're definitely getting less, and what's going on is that the families are being raised. The young are leaving the nest and becoming fledglings. The fledglings we may have seen out in the yard, the most common, of course, being the robin. And that when that happens, the territory that the bird was defending by song is not needed as much, and therefore the birds will sing less. And that will continue to happen as we go through July. Now, there are some birds that continue to sing. Most notably are the indigo bunting and red-eyed vireo. And then we have a couple of warblers. I've been noticing chestnut-sided warblers and yellow-throat that continue to sing. A couple kinds of sparrows, savanna sparrow, song sparrow, swamp sparrow. But for the most part, the bird song has definitely decreased. But the songs of the frogs, the summer frogs, namely the mink frog and the green frog, they continue. And I went out to the lake this morning, and sure enough, there was both the mink frog and the green frog continuing to call. This is their time, and they will probably continue throughout this month. Butterflies, you need to have some clear weather to see this, but we do have good numbers of butterflies. They range from the large tiger swallowtail and monarch down to some tiny skippers that could probably fit on your finger. One of the most beautiful ones of the tiny ones is the black and orange one known as the northern crescent, and I think it's a really neat little butterfly in the area. That is pretty much out in the open. You'll see it on some of the flowers out in the open. Back in the woods, we have a very common now brown butterfly, the northern pearly eye, which I've been seeing almost every day. Dragonflies continue to come out in good numbers. I had one day this week where I was down by the lake, and I watched the young ones coming up out of the water, emerging to become an adult. These particular kind were the calico pennant, which is kind of an unknown name to most people, but if you just saw a dragonfly, that's kind of spotty. The males have a red body. The females have kind of a yellow body, but they're definitely out there. There are several other species as well. A couple of the more beautiful ones, the 12-spot skimmer. Boy, if you see that, you'll remember it. It's just a beautiful, large dragonfly. Hornets continue to build their nest. I find that they're very interesting. Bumblebees are active. Honeybees are active. We have a few other insects like the deer flies that are active, too. But if you stick around and wait until dark, the deer flies stop, the black flies stop. Now, the mosquitoes may take over, but also the fireflies are, and they continue to be active at this time. Crickets are calling. I've been noticing a lot of grasshoppers that are out in the grasses, and they're growing bigger. And then yesterday, I saw the first katydid of the season. Now, it was an immature one, and it was not yet calling, but it was there. And speaking of calling, the cicadas are calling the chipping-like song up in the trees. Other things of note is the spiders. We're getting a good variety of spiders. Yeah, anytime we have insects, you have some spiders out there that want to feed on the insects. They have different methods of hunting and so forth, but they're out there. The big orb webs, the big circular webs that are so photogenic, we have to wait a little while for those. I expect we'll wait a month before we start to see those really well. I did see, however, something of interest yesterday, and that was a wolf spider. Wolf spiders are often exaggerated. They're really not that big, and they're blending in with the ground. Most of them are brown or gray, and they blend in because that's where they live. They don't make webs. They run around after their prey. That's why they're called wolf spiders. But they also carry their eggs. And what I saw yesterday was one carrying its egg sack. They carry the eggs in a little sack, a little spherical ball that is attached to their spinnerets, their tail end of their body. And they'll run around with that egg sack on, and they go about a pretty much of a normal business. Once, however, those eggs hatch and the babies climb up on the mother and they ride on the mother for a while, then she is a little more protective and goes into hiding more. But yesterday I saw one with an egg sack. Other things of note going on, I talked about last time about the red elderberries showing up. They are probably the first ripe berries to show up, but also the first ones to disappear. It's amazing how the birds will get them, and I've been watching a couple of trees that are already devoid of the berries. Sumac are now in bloom, and we have a couple of kind. We have smooth and staghorn sumac, and they're both blooming. Basswood, a big tree that we have all over the place, waits way late into the season to blossom. I'm waiting for them to blossom any day now. They still haven't blossomed, but they will. But speaking of blossoming, we have six fabulous July plants that are out there in bloom right now. Every one of them in bloom, and I just love them. We started off with black-eyed Susan, and then another yellow one called oxeye. It's a type of sunflower. And then that was followed by the big, tall cow parsnip, which is a really big plant, at least 8 feet tall, has a white flower on the top. Some people may mistake it for Queen Anne's lace, but it is much bigger than that. And then that was followed by milkweed, which is such a terrific flower. That was followed by evening primrose, which lives up to its name and flowers during the night. And then this week I saw the first of the purple fireweeds in bloom, and I've been looking at a patch every day, and every day there's more to see. We're wonderful flowers. All six of those are native flowers, and unlike a lot of the flowers that we get in the fields in June, they are the natives. The ones that we see earlier are mostly non-native. One of the most common non-natives of the flowers in June, the hawkweeds, have now gone on to their next step and are now in seed. Other ones like the clovers and the trefoils and the vetches and daisies and so forth are still blooming. More fungi, thanks to this recent rain, I think we're going to start seeding some more mushrooms. I saw some this morning when I was walking. And, of course, there's going to be more berries. I mentioned a red elderberry. I also mentioned that picking strawberries is going on right now in good amounts. Well, I've also been picking a few blueberries, and this week, one day, I was able to pick the first dewberry and the first Juneberry. Now, those last two are not as well known nor as often picked, but they're definitely out there. Dewberry is like a small blackberry, and they're very low, close to the ground, and most people would pass them by. Juneberry, on the other hand, is a small tree. And when they blossom in May, we see them all over the place, and they follow up by having berries. I always told my students it's very well named. They have their blossoms in May. They have their ripe berries in July, so we call them Juneberries. Well, the Juneberry is not eaten by most humans. Most humans pass it up and leave it for the birds and the small mammals and the bears to eat. However, those of us who do go to pick them find them, they're quite delicious. I think they're as good as a blueberry. And I had the first one of those this week, and I doubt if it will be the last. I will plan to have a few more. So, yeah, Lisa, we are approaching a middle or time of July, and we're mixing it, it sounds like, with a little bit of rain and a little bit of heat. So, enjoy.
Larry, it turns out that the dragonfly I photographed this weekend, I had to go back online and look it up because the good folks at Duluth Phenology, who know everything when I can't get a hold of you, are really helpful if you post a photo of identifying plants and stuff. And it was a 12-spotted skimmer.
Hey, you agree with me? They're quite spectacular.
Extremely spectacular. So, yeah, yeah. Kind of. So pretty tickled about that, Larry. I got to tell you, I've got a camping trip coming up at Jaycook State Park, and I'm hoping that you and I could go for a little meander and I can get some more photographs of all the great things that we talk about on this show.
Well, we'll see how it works out.
I think it'll be great. Thanks, Larry.
Hey, take care. Bye.
Larry Weber, our host for Backyard Almanac, every Friday right here on 103.3 KUMD.